Hello, welcome to Waldman's Words with Andy Hill from the band Ass Life. I am not kidding. His band is called Ass Life. You're not supposed to laugh yet. You're not on just yet, but it's fine. Andy Hill is a funny guy. He's also an accomplished improviser. So we're going to talk about that and his Minnesota upbringings and how we're both obsessed with the frontman, Jason Greenlee. Ass Life is an interesting case because when I started this management company, I actually worked with them for a little bit, and I'm super proud of the music they release on a couple cold ones. It's a fantastic release. You can go on Spotify and check it out. Or if you have a cassette player, which many of you do now because it's in vogue, you should pick it up. So in regards to the show, we've got Kevin Miller from Mirror Eyes on in the next few weeks. We also have Chase Hughlin from the band Chase Hughlin on next few weeks, and Zach James, our very first show that we recorded, our pilot episode, was not the very first episode aired, which is an interesting thing, but we're going to be adding it to the program. I will likely be in Asia when this is happening, so recording as many as possible. Now, in regards to the management company, Boomtown Crooks are going to be releasing an LP soon, which is a combination of the stuff Zach and I did, where it was just me, him, and the former drummer from Little Beach and his new group, Boomtown Crooks. So the songs are great. Andy Hill just did the Black Sabbath Metal Fingers, so that's his approval for Little Beach.
Yeah.
The new, again, interjecting, Candy Hearts, their new tracks are money, and I really hope you guys like them when we release them. Film Speed is in the process of finishing up their new EP, and like I said last time, Mirror Eyes released a Christmas song on the In Vogue Records holiday compilation, and all proceeds go to an incredible cause, so pick it up. And yeah, next year is going to be a big year for the management company, for this radio show, especially for Ass Life. So I don't know if there's anything that could really build up holiday cheer more than a couple cold ones by Ass Life, so you can listen to it simultaneously with the commercials that are happening really soon. And Andy Hill is a fan of Waldman's Words. He told me he just listened to the Dave Dominguez episode, and he's looking up at the sky and combination nervous. So this is great. So stick around for possibly the most unique episode of this show. We've got hardcore shredder Andy Hill / catch me if you can improviser Andy Hill. Minnesota represent. Have a good one. Hello, welcome to a special holiday version of Waldman's Words featuring Andy Hill of Ass Life. Yes, hello.
Hi, I'm Andy.
Welcome to the show, Andy.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
It sounds like it. We rescheduled you when you were sick about a month ago. Are you feeling okay?
Yes, I was very sick. I was like, growing up, I would get colds all the time, and I think since I moved to LA, I didn't get them as often, but when I do, they're really bad, and it's mucus, and you feel terrible. Your throat hurts, and I'm happy that
you wouldn't be a good radio guest at the time.
I would have been an asshole, and I would have left.
Well, that's debatable. But so how did we meet?
You and I met through Jason Greenlee.
Yes,
who is the singer in my band Ass Life. And you and Jason worked at the law firm together.
We worked at a firm called Milstein Edelman together, and I actually quit to go forward with this management company. And at the time, this is the first and possibly last time I'm doing this, but a former client, Ass Life, one of my first. So,
And Jason would be like, yeah, my friend Scott, yeah, he played in these bands, these old emo bands. And
thanks.
And we'd watch some of your videos, and then I met you, and I was like, Scott's a rad dude.
Thank you. And I think we met at an Every Time I Die show.
Yes, you took me to an Every Time I Die show.
I did, at the Roxy, and I went for Let Live.
Yes, and Every Time I Die, I slayed.
Well, you know, that's what they do.
Let Live did really well, too, but that was a really fun show, and it was a kind gesture.
Well, you're welcome. I'm really happy to do that. So you said before, since you moved to L.A., I heard that you're from Minnesota. I've been to 44 states, and Minnesota is not one of them. So,
really?
Yeah, it's pretty wild. And I heard that Minneapolis and St. Paul are both awesome. The Juicy Lucy.
Yeah, true.
Talk about your upbringing there.
Okay. The year is 1987. My mom... No, I won't do that.
You can do whatever you want.
I know. Just laying the groundwork. I was born there, grew up there. Minneapolis and St. Paul are right next to each other, the Twin Cities. It's like a very like liberal, kind of Portland-esque like punk music, and a lot of good bands. You know?
Dillinger Four.
Yes, Dillinger Four was one of my favorites, and they'd play all over. But then I saw them at First Avenue, and that was like, oh man, you know, D4's the coolest.
Was this high school,
ever.
Andy?
Yep.
Okay.
I was probably 15. You know, I was into Rancid and AFI and Anti-Flag and NoFX.
We just had Hunter in this very seat that you're sitting in,
which is super cool.
Yep.
Seems like a super cool dude.
Nice guy.
Huge,
really calm.
Huge fan of those AFI albums. The, you know, I bought Art of Drowning and
like the Nitro era.
Black Sails. Yeah.
Okay. I like Sing the Sorrow a lot. I mean, I
loved
guess
it.
It's great.
I still know every word, but I don't throw it on as often. It's like, you know, it's just more. It's better sounding. I like the dirtier shit.
I know you do. That's Couple Cold Ones production style.
Yeah. So, all right. So I got into those bands in Minnesota, and those bands would come through. You know, I went to Warped Tour, and that was like the coolest thing ever when you're 16.
Mm-hmm. Still is.
Yes.
We had Kevin Lyman on the show a few weeks ago too, and I love Warped Tour. So
it's a chance for a lot of young bands to play the Ernie Ball stage or whatever.
And they just announced today Warped Rewind, which is a cruise where it's Warped Tour bands like 303, Real Big Fish, Less Than Jake, Simple Plan, Good Charlotte are playing
the band
a cruise.
303.
Yeah, 303 still kills it,
dude. They had some very sick singles that
Don't Trust Me.
Yeah,
Starstruck.
Don't Trust a Hoe.
Yeah, isn't that crazy that that's the melody?
A little misogynistic.
A little.
Now, but it was a sick beat. I don't think they meant it to be anti-female.
Much like Eminem when he used the F word.
Yeah. Well, Eminem had a history of putting his foot in his mouth, and that was in his music too, and he was saying a lot of nasty stuff.
Yep.
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Good punk city. St. Paul, Minneapolis, you know, it's like a lot of other places where once you get outside the cities, they're the suburbs, the redneck areas, like the little towns.
Is that where you're from?
No, I'm from Minneapolis. Went to high school in St. Paul. Family still lives there. I have a lot of love for a lot of the small towns in Minnesota, but you'll get the conservative.
He just looked tough, and I don't know if that could translate.
You know, just like once you drive outside of the city, you get some interesting folks with some different political views than,
yes,
you know, like a liberal city person might have.
Well, when I left LA to go on my like mini moon, and I've never heard the word mini moon. I know you're laughing. This is what happens when you're married. Right after I got married,
congratulations, by the way.
Oh, thank you. We drove up the coast, up the PCH to, you know, we drove by Morro Bay. We drove to Big Sur. It was awesome. And we spent the last few nights in San Francisco and Santa Cruz. And then driving down the 5 was one of the ugliest drives ever.
Totally.
And you see a sign that said Martin Luther King would have been a Republican. Mm. I could totally see him being for the wall. Anyway.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, God, maybe some MLK historian would be like, I have so many reasons why this is true.
In that voice.
We didn't know the man, but then you see a lot of signs that I was just driving. I did a drive to Nevada City 2 weeks ago with my girlfriend and her son because they have a family that's in Nevada City. It's like an hour north of Sacramento.
Nevada City,
California.
Okay. Oh, what?
Beautiful area. Like it's about an hour north of Sacramento and to the east a little bit. It's like foresty. It's really green, mountainy, but all these signs on the way there, "Make America Great Again" billboards, and then now it's that extra little knife in you because it says "Thank you for voting to." They post that on there, "Make America Great Again," and there's like 10 of them on the way down the 5.
He's doing a thank you tour too, to all the cities where he won.
I'm gonna give him a chance. Give the guy a chance.
Good luck with that. So Minnesota, did you play guitar in bands? I actually gave you a guitar lesson once.
You
fun
did.
Fact.
I see you as this guitar player that knows so much. I don't mean to stroke your ego.
Oh.
But you approach it in a different way where you like learned some theory. You learned some.
I learned a little bit.
Yeah, and you were taught in a different way where it wasn't just playing along to the Subhumans or Rancid.
Definitely not the Subhumans. Playing along to Rancid, yes, but not the Subhumans.
There's no wrong way to learn an instrument. or to learn how to play.
No, I disagree with you on that, but
okay, sure.
But I mean, playing along to songs really helps you get better rhythm, and your rhythm is solid.
And you've been a guitar teacher for a while.
A long ass time, dude.
So I started on bass because I couldn't do the chords with my hands.
Right,
it was hard. And Matt Freeman and in the AFI bass, the Hunter bass, like, you know, those were like my heroes. So
Matt Freeman from Rancid and Op Ivy, just so.
Yep, and I did that a bit, but I had a good friend, Dave, who was such a good bass player, and we always wanted to be in bands together, so it was like, well, Dave's going to play the bass, and I'll have to do something else. You know, like, he's just better. So I bought one of those $120 Epiphone Les Pauls.
Nice.
And started to, you know, learn power chords, and everything was like...
Like down-tuned power chords or straight-up power chords?
Straight up.
Okay.
That was the last guitar thing that I learned. I was 16. I was like, I don't need anything else. This is a power chord. This is what's up. That was like starting the guitar. I think I was 17.
Uh-huh.
And I did vocals in a band in high school called Robbie Christmas and the Tuesdays.
What's the significance of that name?
It was like I was hearing about like Tommy James and the Shondells and the Boomtown Rats and certain old band names where I was like, oh, you know, that needs to come back. And all my friends were playing in bands that were, like, No Form or, like, anti...
Like, punk or, like, heavy-sounding names. Punk, and you wanted to bring back, like, the 50s-esque, like, Motown-y names.
Yep.
Okay.
And yeah, Robbie Christmas and the Tuesdays, it doesn't sound like anything. You know, it was, like, a goofy, dumb high school band name where we were, like, fuck it, this is our band name. Mm-hmm. Let's work on some good songs. And we were...
My first band was called Eat My Pie.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah, thank you.
The dudes in the Drive-By Truckers, their first band was Adam's House Cat. And I always thought, like, that is the worst band name.
Hoobastank?
Everyone hated them. Hoobastank. I never liked that band name.
They're amazing.
Talented guys.
Talented guys. The Reason is you.
I really don't like The Reason. I never will. And I don't think that makes them bad dudes, though.
Yeah, well, I like how you basically are able to separate where some people just like listen to Nickelback and are like, they're bad people.
I'm always like that. I get shit from my girlfriend because she's like, you won't talk shit about anything. And that's so not true. We're together because we both like to make fun of stuff. She and I. We love to make
fun
of everything.
Sounds like a positive relationship.
But she can be so negative and like, that band sucks. That movie sucks. And I'm always like, well, no, they took a risk. We're like, those dudes also came out with that album, and that album's sweet. You know, I'm always like throwing that.
The glass half full, dude.
Yeah, you always hear, "Shut up, Andy." Like you, no, that band sucks. So like, that's our dynamic.
Sounds enviable.
Shout out to Nina if she listens to this.
I'm sure she will, even though she didn't remember what you were doing this morning.
I have her Tool CD in my car. She lent me a Tool.
What
CD.
Album?
The first one, Undertow.
Oh,
so sick.
Sober.
Never was into them, and now I'm coming into it and really getting, really hearing it for the first time.
Well, Jason's previous band, Light System, was very Tool-y.
Yep.
In many ways.
We could talk about how Ass Life came to be.
I would love to. If you keep scrolling down my list, that's the next thing. So Ass Life, and then, you know, I really want to talk about your other experiences in Los Angeles, but how did Ass Life come to be? Yeah, experience. How did Ass Life come to be?
Okay.
That has so many pun intended.
Okay. I was in some other bands in Minnesota that never really did anything substantial. Contra Bandits were like us kind of trying to be from First to Last or Under Oath. Mm-hmm. And kind of trying to be like a harder version. Like, you know, I used to listen to...
A harder version of Under Oath?
In high school, I listened to real hardcore and crust, what I deem real hardcore, like Minor Threat. And bands that would play in Minneapolis and, like, really fast.
I mean, you had a Maximum Rock and Roll magazine in your fucking hand when I picked you up today.
Yes.
So you are one crust.
I have to, you know, I bought that magazine at a nice bookstore in San Francisco. And Maximum, I'll give a small thing about Maximum Rock and Roll. It's just so fun to go through an issue of it and just, they have 500 bands in there that you can just look it up on Bandcamp and, like, oh, this is okay. Bands you wouldn't hear about anywhere else. Especially for hardcore or like weird punk stuff.
We just got the picture.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to post it simultaneously.
So that's my thing about MRR. Keep doing what you're doing.
Keep doing what you're fucking doing.
Thank you. So these bands in St. Paul, my good friend Mike Schuler, we were in a couple bands together. He would do vocals and I did guitar. And we were eventually in a band called The Cougar.
Nice.
The Cougar was like down tune riffs, drop C.
Drop
get
C.
Dirty.
We That's some him, heavy shit.
Chris Shotliff played guitar, and we called them lip sniffers, these riffs, because you sniff your lip when you're down out, down out.
So groovy.
Yes, grooving pretty hard. Nice. And definitely like Pantera influenced in a way, you know. And through Mike, I met Jason's band, Get Young, his old band in Minneapolis. They're actually from a suburb. Can't think of which one.
Egan.
Like a bunch of different ones. All those kids were... Get Young was super...
They were heavy,
super
too.
Young. They were like, you know, 20 or whatever, and they were doing the down-tuned riffy thing harder than anyone, getting a ton of people at their shows, crowd surfing and jumping up and down and going nuts. Get Young was like, man, these dudes are really killing it. And they were all friends of ours, and we play together and stuff.
And then flash forward to L.A.
So, yeah, when I moved to L.A., I saw Jason at a party, our friend Josh Patel's party. What's up, dude? What's going on with you? How's life? L.A.'s crazy. Yeah, you talk to any Minnesota people. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Let's play some music together. I knew Jason played bass in Get Young, and he was really good.
Right. He's an extremely talented musician.
Yes. He's has a good sense of rhythm.
Yeah, which is kind of important for a bass player.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to draw any attention to how you said that word.
Yeah, it's okay. I even played bass in a band. Pretty wild. Continue.
Plus, we were into the same music as far as like...
80s crust punk?
No, I think Jason comes more from nu metal.
He...
And we both were into Biscuit.
I think that's what bonded the two of us.
Before punk, I was into Limp Bizkit and rap and DMX and Ja Rule, and then like in Limp Bizkit and Linkin Park.
Who did I share a flight with?
Ja Rule.
Damn right. Murder!
Yeah, we talked about that earlier. Scott was on a flight with Scott
with Ska Rule. That would be the best ska band name. Ska Rule. Oh my god.
Wouldn't be that bad.
I think that's great. I just tagged you on the internet. Continue.
We got together and we would before we had Ass Life, I would go to Jason's place. He had a cool little interface at his house in Koreatown where you could just record onto it, record guitar, vocals. We would get drunk and we would a lot of times we'd end up just watching like Drake music videos. Oh, you like this 2 Chainz video? Oh, yeah.
He loves 2 Chainz, Jason.
I do too. Like we just liked a bunch of rap stuff, and it was more fun when you drink to just show each other music videos.
Mm-hmm.
We would do that, and we would cover.
So you guys weren't really friends. You knew each other in Minnesota, but you didn't really hang out.
Right.
Okay.
We knew who each other was and like said hi
each
to
other
each other.
What?
Each other were.
Yeah.
I have an education.
Edumacation.
And Chad got involved with Ass Life. Chad is from Minnesota, too.
Mm-hmm. Talk about Chad. I think that we could probably have a whole radio show dedicated to him.
Chad Fierstad plays bass in Ass Life.
Damn right he does.
He and I and Jason all wanted to start a band for a while. We were like this soup that was like, let's play music. Chad had been in a metal band called Dead to Fall.
Mm-hmm. Victory Records.
Fucking Major Rager. Everyone in Minneapolis knew who Chad was because he'd been in these big bands, and he was a really nice, funny dude. And he was living in L.A., so we weren't really friends in Minneapolis either. Once I moved to L.A., I started to talk to him as well.
But you guys had a billion mutuals, I assume.
Yes.
Okay.
And Chad also does pornography.
Yes, he does. Oh, look, see, Mike, that's when Fish's eyes light up. I was waiting for that. Yep.
He is.
You could Google search Chad Alva or Chad Fierstad. You might recognize many parts of him.
Male talent.
Yes.
He shows up to set and he's ready to work.
Yep.
And they have coitus on camera.
He's quite a performer.
I would call it simulated coitus because often these people don't even know each other before they meet on set.
It's true.
It's amazing.
It's kind of like Love Actually.
Yeah. So he does that. That's a source of income for him.
Yes.
But it doesn't define him as a person.
Nope. His music defines him, and he's in about 10 gazillion projects along with the Ass Life drummer, whereas you are more shredder
I'm
for Ass Life. You're focused on Ass Life. You are the glue that holds that ass together.
I want to feel like all my best ideas go into Ass Life.
And, well, your improvisation, which I've seen you do, I enjoyed it.
Improv is fun.
We'll talk about that in a bit. But more about Ass Life, and you could talk about Chad if you want. You could talk about John, because he's the only one you haven't really shouted out.
Well, the three of us wanted to start something, and Jason was in a band called Light System with our friend Danny and John. And we'd see Light System shows, and they were this apocalyptic space rock kind of thing. Really heavy, long songs. And when
loud as fuck.
Yes, like blow your fucking head off loud.
They would actually supply earplugs at the shows because they knew that they were. I think they were one of the loudest bands I've ever seen.
Light System was a band that was like, they would write out charts on the wall. We shared a practice space with them. All of a sudden, we got John to start playing drums in Ass Life. So it was us, and then Light System would be, that was their practice space we were using, basically. But they would like chart out parts and these long...
Well, change meter, and they
were very... And Danny had all different effects for his guitar. It was like a very soundscape-y, like cinematic type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
the opposite of Ass Life.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, when Light System dissolved, we were like, hey, John, you want to keep doing Ass Life? Yeah, cool. You know, he wanted to. And the original, I think, ideas for Ass Life were like, short, let's keep it short, like no BS. We're sick of, I don't know, just...
Corporate America.
Who's not?
Yeah.
I don't know. We just wanted short, fast. We'll get in. We'll get out of there. You know, we're not going to take up an hour of your time. Let's have songs that are truly like honest songs where we're not like shrouded in metaphors and like I love Converge, but Converge has such dark poetic lyrics and it's not how I write lyrics at all.
No metaphors.
I want it to be really like,
I hate this city, I hate my friends.
Yeah, something. It's, I've tried to like describe lyrics before, how writing them how I do, and it always comes out the same as you hear everyone. Oh, I want to write it from the heart, like real shit, you know. That's what everybody says. Who wants to write fake shit? But, yeah, with Ass Life, it's just totally, like, as fast as you can get the idea down into the song and, like, hammer it out. And
the opening track starts with you riffing on just a few-note progression, and your first song is called Ass Life.
Uh-huh.
So that's a statement.
I want to give a shout-out to From Ashes Rise, who is one of my favorite bands, hardcore bands, and that riff is very taken from them. It's very similar. It's in a different key, but I was kind of self-conscious about that after the song. After we wrote the song, I was like, man, this riff is such like a From Ashes
riff
Rise
off.
Song. Yeah.
Nice.
From Ashes Rise fucking kicks ass.
Well, I like, I don't from, think I, ass, I like From Ass's Life a little bit more, but I don't know. You got, it's interesting. I know. I think John is from Pennsylvania, correct? But
yes.
The three of you guys are Minnesota, and I've noticed out here there's a huge amount of Midwesterners.
Represent?
I mean, especially Minnesota. I've met a lot of people from, I guess, the Minneapolis, St. Paul suburbs. So
I think it's because it's such a city, like a hippie, old hippie kind of city where they make, it's a lot of microbreweries and tattoos and bike riders. And like they move out to L.A. because it's just more of that going on. It's a bigger platform.
With
a
slightly better weather.
And punk originated out here. Fuck,
well,
New York City.
So you don't think it originated in London or New York? No, it's fine.
People can say what they want. Different. If people grew up out there, they would say, yeah. And it didn't originate in Minneapolis, I don't think.
No.
You know, so like it was either...
Husker Du, right?
Husker.
Husker, see, I fucked up. But Motion City soundtrack.
Yep. And the Replacements are from out there.
Yep.
So you have your New York, you have your LA, you have London.
And you have Semisonic.
Oof. Who was a band called Trip Shakespeare before they were Semisonic.
That's a great name. Hello, we are back with Andy Hill from Ass Life.
What's up, America?
World. Anyone from anywhere can listen to this.
Funny, because if I look straight ahead, it's just at a window or fish, but I can turn and see Scott, so I could kind of sideways talk to him, which seems more natural a little bit, but like I want to talk into the microphone.
So have a conversation without looking at someone.
I'm pretending Scott's head is floating in front of me.
It's okay. That's one of fish's nightmares. So, let's talk about Los Angeles. What specifically brought you to L.A.?
Ooh. The moment?
Anything.
Okay, it was 2010. I was getting out of this relationship with this girl, Alexandra. She's cool. She liked Taking Back Sunday a lot and Third Eye Blind. We loved those two bands. So I was breaking up with Alex and finishing college at the University of Minnesota. I started out at Minneapolis Technical College, getting my generals done. I didn't know what I wanted to major in at all, but my...
Is that a two-year school?
Yes.
Okay.
And that school has awesome professors. It's in Minneapolis, downtown. But, like, my mom and dad were both like, just be in school. Just finish your degree. Get a degree. You know, because my dad did. He's a teacher. I think he always thought, like, you know, fuck it. You'll be a teacher one day or whatever. And I finished school. I got a psychology degree from the University of Minnesota. I transferred
like
there.
Like Gophers, Minnesota?
Go Golden Gophers, yep.
Where's the school located?
In Minneapolis.
Oh, they so have the a main Saint Paul campus? Too. Oh, yeah. Is that the main one?
It's right in the middle of the city.
Okay.
Called Dinkytown. Like the neighborhood's called Dinkytown. And I finished there and I was like, had a plan with my friend Ben tentatively for a long time to move out to LA. He was in school in Chicago in acting school. He's like a
Columbia
theater actor.
College?
DePaul.
Okay.
So Ben was like, I'm moving to LA in 2012. Yeah, you should come with, the beginning of 2012. So I just finished up my shit. I didn't have anything I wanted to do. You know, in Minnesota, and I was like, this is about the right time to do this. So we drove.
You were 22?
Yeah.
Nice.
Something like that, yep. And he was living in Chicago, but he's from St. Paul. So he drove up to where I was in St. Paul at the time, living with my mom. And we drove. We got all my shit and drove to LA.
Nice.
We both wanted to do sketch comedy together. A lot of Mr. Show. That's like my favorite thing. Mr. Show and SNL and Stella and I'm forgetting a lot of stuff. But
The State?
Yeah, The State is so good, but I wasn't into it back then. It's so funny now, but like I didn't. I'm watching all that stuff for the first time.
It's amazing how many careers were launched with that show.
Totally. And like Wet Hot American Summer is basically like kind of a sketch comedy movie.
Well, it's The State, right?
Yeah, all those people.
Yeah.
We wanted to do stuff like that. And I kind of figured like we'll just get a house and
just
start
shooting stuff. Did
you bring
a guitar out here though too? Did you?
Yes.
Okay.
Brought my Les Paul.
The $100-something guitar?
No, I had a Les Paul that my stepmom bought for me my 20-something birthday, 21st.
Nice.
She bought me a nice Les Paul studio. Thank you, Evelyn.
Thanks,
Evelyn.
That
guitar was stolen.
Real? Mine was too.
In L.A.
Mine was stolen in L.A. too. But I mean, I learned a big, you know.
Yeah, life lesson.
Well, don't leave your fucking car, like your guitar in the car. The guitar that I wrote so many songs on in Westwood, my car got broken into and it was stolen. And
ouch.
That was a nightmare.
It sucks.
It felt like someone invaded my stomach.
Yeah, totally. Well, getting back to moving to L.A., then that's why we went here.
I'm more
positive.
I wanted to play music,
and I wanted to be... I knew, like, you know, Black Flag and Minutemen and Circle Jerks, the whole L.A. thing, and, like, every Minnesotan somewhere down there, like, every Midwestern person, or maybe New York, like, when you have those harsh winters and driving in there, I always thought maybe I would die in, like, a car wreck in the wintertime, because I'd almost been in a bunch of accidents,
wow,
in the winter.
More positive words with Andy Hill.
The ice gets really fucking slick. And I was like, I'm moving to L.A., no more winters. I'm going to live where there's no hard winter, and I will not die in a vehicular-related winter accident.
Good. I mean, that's kind of hard to do out here. There's only two seasons,
and
spring
and
summer.
Yes.
You haven't yet, God willing.
No. So I wanted to play music and do, like, comedy. And I
but
didn't
comedy
know
was the end game goal, right?
Yeah, and I'd done some acting in high school, some theater.
Ooh, what Loved plays?
South Pacific. I was a sailor.
I was Emile Debec.
In South Pacific?
Some enchanted evening.
Sick.
Pound it.
God, that play's so hard to watch, though.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal.
I was a sailor, you know, and, like, all my friends would see it and be like, not know what to say. Like, I just watched 2 hours of a bunch of sailors dancing to some World War II thing.
Yep.
Musical.
Ballyhoo. Wow. Was that, I mean, that was an unintentionally politically incorrect, or intentionally politically incorrect, because it's pretty,
yeah,
pretty brutal.
It's like, Asian people look funny and they sound funny. And it's like, you can't fucking.
Let's sing a song about this.
Like, you have to, like, say that you're making fun of it. It's, yeah, it's really, like, old, backwards now seeming.
Like Sambo type shit.
Yeah. Not PC at all.
No.
And, like, I don't know.
Well, movies, I think that was like a 50s, 60s musical, but I've rewatched certain 80s films that are rated PG. They would totally be rated R now. There's
sure.
Like a lot of TNA. There's rape.
Wow.
Yeah.
PG movies?
Like PG-13. I guess that they were cool with it.
Sure. Well, the old rule was if you could say fuck one time in a PG-13 movie.
And that's it?
And keep it PG-13, I think, yeah.
But once you say it a second time, it's already on the R cusp?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Adventures in Babysitting is great.
In Beetlejuice, he says, some fucking model. And I don't think that's R.
No, that's PG-13.
Yeah.
That's when I had a crush on Winona Ryder.
Winona Ryder from Minnesota.
She's from Minnesota?
Absolutely.
Damn right. And Prince, he's probably your favorite son.
R.I.P.
Well, that was recent.
He's definitely up there. When he died, it was like a lot of people felt that and were saddened by it. But us Minnesotans were like, man, he was the only cool black dude that anyone knew from Minnesota. Like, and like people like my dad... He was just the cool dude. Like, he was like their dude. And him dying unexpectedly, they were like, well, he's gone. It was like, damn.
Like, you know, people normally hate on people who post like a lot of RIP statuses for celebrities. I never saw any Prince hate.
Almost did from Chad.
Oh, God.
And I think Chad likes him, but Chad will get on people. Chad is just very in. He's monitoring Facebook and checking what people are writing about, and he'll call shit out if whatever. But I'm here to say that Prince was.
He works for Facebook Corporate.
Sure. He should.
So the LA scene. So you moved out here and you obviously joined Ass Life. I'd love to hear about your work in improv.
We founded Ass Life.
You're one of the founders. But I want to hear more about your work in improv because I think that separates you from the pack of people that I've had on the show.
The comedy scene in LA. So I met a bunch of people out here through Ben, who I used to live with. Ben's from Minnesota. He was my friend that was in acting school in Chicago. He had a bunch of friends that moved out here as well that were like into all these sorts of stuff. And we shot some sketches, and they would all keep talking about improv. They met in improv, and they were doing improv this night. And I had seen a little bit of it and knew a little bit about it, but it wasn't until I saw a show. My mom came to town like 5 years ago, and she was like, "We're gonna go to a Second City show. I think you're gonna have fun." And I was like,
"In that voice,
yeah." She and Ross, my stepdad, came. And we all went to this show, and it was like a sketch comedy show. It wasn't even improv. It was about an hour long in Second City, Hollywood, on Hollywood Boulevard.
Big shout.
Where I saw you perform.
Uh-huh.
And pay I was, it forward.
Afterwards, we left, and she was like, you could do, you know, why don't you try doing something like that? And I was like, all right, well, if you pay for my class, I'll do it. She did. And I took, like, you know, intro to improv there, and you meet all these people, all these dorks. Everyone is a dork. It's a very inclusive thing. You want to include everyone, all the outcasts and all the people that make people uncomfortable. You all want to...
Which you do very well.
Make each other comfortable. And yes. That's like a central tenet. You know, you need to be comfortable around these people.
It's yes and.
Yes, that's the classic rule. And yes and means like don't say no to the situation with your scene partner. Say yes and provide some
information.
Well,
that leaves them for a lurch.
Keep it going. Yes.
And?
I'm not going
to
say anything.
You don't have to, even though you're leaving me for a lurch. I saw that movie with Key.
Dude.
Did you see it yet?
No. It's not available for streaming yet.
So you don't go to the theaters?
Don't think twice.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
I wanted to see it with Nina, my girlfriend, because she always hates on improv.
Yeah, you told me that.
She just doesn't like that. She doesn't like that whole theater kid feeling where everyone's on stage, kind of like inside jokes and like weird, dumb shit. I also want to say I've taken her to see a show at IO West, another improv thing, where she was like, "That was really funny. Those people were really funny." They were like two people in their 40s. It was an old teacher of mine. One dude's name was Jason Schatz, and then Colleen.
And Colleen.
They had this hour-long thing where they both played different people, and at the end, Nina was like, that was really good. They were good.
So she approved.
Yes.
Kelly doesn't like stand-up comedy, my wife, or improv, because she feels that like if someone isn't gifted, it's basically like the shittiest first date of your life.
Dude, it can be brutal. Stand-up
Slow.
Or improv.
Probably worse than seeing a bad band.
Yeah, they're all kind of bad.
They're more naked.
And I'm very like, I want to clap and be like, good job, dude, whatever it was, for getting on stage. But sometimes you're just like, God, you suck. You just suck. But keep doing it. You know, basically.
You're very encouraging.
Improv is like that. You like, I don't know, it's very inclusive and very enthusiastic. And like, you learn the main rules. You know, you just have a scene partner or a couple and you're creating something on the fly. And like, it's easiest if you keep it simple and you know, you're just like trying to have a conversation like two normal people would have, you know, and
like this radio show.
Yes. It's like we're
improvising. I mean, it's not exactly a script. Well, we are. We're pretending to be. I have 8 points. We're on point number 6, but our dialogue is freeform.
Sure. Well, LA is a very fun improv scene, and a lot of people see it now and they're like, improv is a cult. And it kind of is. You know, you get indoctrinated into it by, like, taking classes or, like, seeing shows. And it turns into a thing where all these kind of, like, secret society, you know, group where all these people are into it. And you're like, why the hell are you guys into this? Like, it's not funny. It's boring. Some people could think that. But LA is just a great city for
you.
It. it's so many fun teams, and you see a team like at some weird there's a cafe now. UCB has a cafe called the Inner Sanctum, and we did a I'm in a team now called the Spice Goats.
Represent.
Big shout to them. We all met at class at IO, but we did a show there.
The first Ask Life Waldman Management meeting was post an IO class or post a workshop, I remember. It was at that bar right near Moscow.
Yeah, at Bordner's.
Yes.
That was the Second City Hangout.
Ooh.
Yeah, I just you see like random teams, random groups of people, and you're just like, fuck, you guys were awesome. That was really funny. You know, you meet each other, you connecting, all that stupid shit. But it's great. 15 minutes of like stupid comedy with a group of people, and they're all pretending to be things that you've seen in real life, and you're like, that is how it is when you're at school or at church or at work.
Or a doctor's office for some reason.
Or a doctor's
There's
office.
A lot of doctor's office.
Because it's really easy to start a scene and be like, so, Melissa, tell me how... You say your leg hurts. Tell me about that.
You leave them.
The other person knows that they're Melissa, their leg hurts. Just talk about your leg. You don't need to make up anything more about that. You know?
Nice. Well, we have a little bit more time, so the juice of this... public stories, be it improv, be it Ask Life, be it anyone. And look, it looks like there's someone here with a package. This is
yes.
awesome. So I would love to hear something that you deem appropriate or inappropriate for public consumption. Yep.
A story.
A story.
Well, man, I don't know. A lot of stories going on.
You lived in a place called the Bunghole.
The Bunghole was a house. I lived there with Chad, bass player in Ass Life, porn actor. when people hear about Chad often, it's like, oh man, you guys must like kick it with porn girls and like
that's not his
go
scene,
to
though.
Porn parties. You guys are all like having sex and stuff, but it's nothing really like that at all. I've met a lot of people that have worked
adult
at porn.
Entertainers.
Uh huh. And they're a lot are nice people. I have some friends, some other friends that are in it. Very rarely does random group sex happen.
Rarely, you said. So it's by that little fire
yeah.
nook
no,
where I sat and told
I have
the
never
story.
Participated. I've never seen it happen. I've never participated. But like a lot of porn people are just into smoking pot.
That makes sense.
And
turn your brain off.
Yeah. And they just are stoners and like to hang out, do normal people stuff.
Well, then tell a story, goddammit.
The Bunghole was a cool house. It was, we had parties there.
Respect.
Paul Simon's son came to one of our parties.
Wow, did you call him out?
It's not even a story. Like, I didn't even know which one he was. I think he sat on a beanbag with some other people. Later that night, Chad was like, dude, Paul Simon's son was here.
Wow.
I'm sure he has a name. I want to give respect to him. Like, I don't know.
I'll look it
name.
Up while you're talking.
I'm sure he's a cool dude, but I didn't even talk to him. Just the work his dad did is cool enough to, like, mention that. Because I grew up listening to Paul Simon.
Who didn't?
I also want to say I grew up listening to Paul Simon, Tom Petty, Springsteen, AC/DC. I want to give all those bands a shout. If
Harper
you still like
Simon,
those bands,
Gabriel Elijah, or Adrian Edward? Was it an older dude?
No, he was younger.
Okay.
He had neck tattoos.
What? I'm Paul kidding. Simon's? No, he did not.
I didn't do any drugs with him.
What?
I'm trying to think of salacious bunghole stories.
Please.
Like when we would have parties, nothing too crazy would happen. There were, you know, there were drugs there that would be ingested through your nose.
Oh, boy.
Going on. We had a lot of people there at the last party.
I was there.
Like, so many people. Later on that night, Scott was there. It was nice to see him.
We were the first to arrive.
Yes.
Kelly. Oh, my God. I'm in trouble.
Big shout to Kelly.
Kelly, my wife.
I want to, as a side note, I worry that if I do get married, I'll have to say my wife, and I won't be able to, like, say it without doing the Borat voice.
My wife.
It's
You'll be able to do it. I mean, I think it a lot. Do you like Bruno better than Borat, or Borat better than Bruno?
Borat's more funny to me.
Okay.
Bruno's hardcore.
It's really hardcore.
The UFC fight thing is, like, brilliant, and, like, really, watching it, I get that sense, you get that feeling, like, this is, like, uncomfortable.
I can only imagine the stuff that they were pelleted. They must have had crazy security with them.
Truly uncomfortable.
Let's, because we haven't heard any real salacious stories, even though we were promised
I'm thinking, but, like, Nothing's coming to mind.
All right. Well, what is your day job?
I work as an underwriter for an insurance broker.
What does that mean?
This is complicated to a lot of people. Our insurance is for the board of directors for an association.
Okay.
Typically a homeowners association or a condominium owners association.
Right.
The board needs insurance because if they're sued, they have to front the money for legal costs, you know, and they're sued a lot for, like, let's say a tenant moves into their building and sues because they said they were going to do repairs and they never did. Or they said you can have a dog. The tenant moves in with the dog. The board says you can't have that dog. The board controls the building, you know. So the board needs insurance for defense costs. I work for a broker who we're a broker for Travelers Insurance. So we write policies for associations, basically. And then I take a look at those policies and make sure that the right coverages are there and the account is written with correct exposure.
What does exposure mean?
The risk of getting sued.
Oh, boy.
The risk of a lawsuit in this case.
Which is high.
Well, it could be. Let's say there's like a really pricey building in New York City, you know, $2 million units. Those people are much more likely to sue.
Yeah, because there's more at stake.
Yeah, and they have the money. And it's a nice job. Shout out to Kevin Davis Insurance. I got that job through a temp agency. I was living here, and I didn't know how to make money, and I didn't want to work.
How long have you been working there? Has that been your only job out here?
I worked for a coffee shop for a couple weeks, and I quit to work for this paper company that never ended up giving me the job.
Dunder Mifflin?
No. That's a fake company.
Oh, why'd you do that?
But this is about 4 years at Kevin Davis. They're really cool. I listen to music on one headphone often. I don't have to talk on the phone very often. But
you're so charming. You should get into that.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I think insurance industry gets a rap for, like, man, it makes you want to kill yourself. There's, you know, you're in a cubicle with no light. No, I'm in a nice office building downtown Los Angeles. Everyone's like a little family. We have Christmas parties.
You're missing the ugly sweater party.
Our
right?
ugly sweater party for this.
Thank you.
But I'll be able to get back there today and eat at the potluck.
Well, that's awesome. Well, we're going to close this out shortly again. The next few weeks, we've got Kevin Miller from Mirror Eyes on Friday, actually 2 days from today. I'm going to be interviewing Chase Uglin, and he'll be on the air. Again, thank you so much, Andy Hill from Ask Life. Give advice to the people listening for anyone who, A, wants to be in a band, and then we'll go to the next sector and we'll close out.
If you want to be in a band, listen up. First, you might want to learn how to play any aspect of your instrument, but also just the community atmosphere of bands is the best part. You play in little weird spaces anywhere you can. People telling you to shut up is usually a good thing. You know, you can play anywhere that your community has and meet people, and like, those are going to be stories that you have for the rest of your life and people that you remember.
Like the salacious tales you've told today.
I'll come back with more salacious tales.
We're almost done.
Yeah. Next time I'm on when Aslan
releases. Well, if this one's really high rated.
When we get a Grammy.
I mean, the Grammy list did not have you guys. I was pretty upset.
Chance the Rapper is nominated.
He's complete DIY, right? He's not even signed to a deal, I don't think.
I've heard that.
That's amazing. Good for him.
He's cool. Chano's cool. That record's really cool.
All right, so advice for anyone who wants to break into improv now.
Improv, take classes. They're about $350, so not everyone can spend that.
So go to a class with your mother and have her pay for it.
If anyone, otherwise you can do payment plans at a lot of them.
Okay.
You know, $100 per time, which is much more affordable. Like, just take a class and see if you like it. A lot of times people call it adult playtime because in your adult life it's like fucking depressing and car payments and just like jobs and stuff. So improv is really adult playtime where you get to be stupid and silly and goofy with a bunch of other adults.
Well, speaking of being stupid and silly with a bunch of other adults, Andy Hill, thank you so much for coming to Waldman's Words.
Thank you.
Every Tuesday, you're welcome. Every Tuesday night, 5 p.m. Cali time, 8 p.m. Pacific time. What time zone is Minnesota?
It is 2 hours ahead of this one.
Okay.
So,
is that like mountain?
No. Central.
Nice.
Big shout to the Minnesota Timberwolves, Minnesota Vikings. Let's get it.
Big shout to the entire great state of Minnesota, the Twin Cities, and most importantly, Ass Life. Have a good day.
Fear is the mind killer.